Welcome, Benji. Set Mister. Hey, everybody. I'm going to make sure you hear me. If I didn't have anything to say, I could have stayed in Flint. And the way y'all walking, you need to hear something. My name is Benji and I'm an addict. And my home group is the Friday Night Live in metropolitan Detroit. See, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, my foot was tired. I don't understand all this walking. I was tired. And I had walked all night and all day. I was one of these ads that walked from sun up to sundown. You see me at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have my high beams on, come out, what's up? See, I don't know if y'all walk that late in Charlotte. When I was in Greensboro, I got that breeze and dog alleys. I understand. I was telling them there, I said, look at here, man, I can't do no walking up here, all snakes and alleys. So I got to stay clean. I'm happy to be here with all of you tonight. I said I'm happy to be here with you. It's one thing to be here, but it's another thing to be here with you. See, God sent me, and God sent you. And there's room for me in the circle, and there's room for you. And our fellowship is so wonderful that we created a space for the addict that's on his way, or the addict that's on her way. So we got to sit down. Because there's some addicts that's going to do something for us that haven't even made their way to Narcotics Anonymous yet. And we just walking so scared, you ain't going to get it. You're going to get it. Everybody else don't have it. What makes you think you're not going to be able to get it? He's easy to get. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was nothing but a wee-wee. That's all I had. And that was all you was going to get. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. How many of y'all went to the dance last night? I'm going to get honest for a minute. I went in there and I'm feeling these deck vibes and stuff. What the hell going on here in Charlotte? And they were playing the song, Take It to the House. I'd never heard that before. Take It to the House. And I was dancing with the girl and she was showing me her house. My mind said, I see your house. I started thinking about being the indweller. And I eased on out the dance. I almost blamed Charlotte, but that ain't Charlotte. That shit was in my mind. New York, California, you know, but I was going to blame Charlotte, but I know that ain't Charlotte. But I also know I can do everybody in Charlotte, and I still got to go to Raleigh. Because one ain't enough. I can't get enough. That's one of the dynamics about addiction. You can't satiate an addiction. That's a pretty word, isn't it? What it means is that if you got an addiction to sex, you can't satisfy it by having sex. You got an addiction to food, you can't satisfy it by having food, by eating food. You got an addiction to drugs, you can't satisfy it by using drugs. That's fundamental to our dilemma. We can't be satisfied. Some of us been trying to get high for 20 years, ain't got high yet. 20 years, ain't got high yet. You come and sit down and rest a while. Sit down and rest a while. We know you're tired. We know the story. We know the story. This, that, and them. My mama put me on the pot the wrong way. We'll put you back together. Convention committee said we're bound for freedom. Said we're bound for freedom. So we're on our way. Now we got to figure out what we got to take with us. So just because you're bound don't mean you're going to get there. So a lot of addicts in this room's not free. A lot of addicts in this room not free. Addict told me, let me share this with you. I need to get honest. Wonderful. Self-disclosure is an important part of the process. It's a very important part of the process. But it's not the process. You got to do more to get honest. That's just one principle. That's just one principle. Addicts in this room been sharing gut level for years. Ain't got free yet. Getting closer for sharing. You share, I share honest. I share gut level. You're going to have to do more than share. Just because you're sharing it don't mean you're releasing it. See, I didn't come to hold you up. I ain't going to hold you up. You got to get clean. Because I need you. I need you. My new house is not going to say to me, Benji, I love you. I got a job, but people on my job is not saying I love you without condition. I got a car, but that car is never going to say I accept you. I believe in you. Thank you for being in my life. I need you. And I got to help you stay clean. When I look into your eyes, I get a better understanding of me. God sent you to me so I can understand myself more clearly. When I look at your disease, I get a deeper understanding of my disease. Because we got the same disease. We got the same disease. I might have one symptom, you might have one symptom. We got the same disease. Some serious stuff going on here. Some serious stuff going on here. I know we clean up and get to batting our eyes and skinning and grinning. But these are precious moments. Precious moments. Addiction is the number one disease in our civilization. The number one. Look at this room. Thousands of addicts in here. Addiction is the number one disease in our civilization. And we meet under these conditions. What a privilege. It's a privilege to meet you under these conditions. We could have met in the alley. And it would have been on. It would have been on. We meet under these conditions. You may as well make your mind up right now. This is all you got. You need to look to the left of you, to the right of you, behind you, and in front of you. This is what you got. That's it. We're going to be together. I'm going to be with addicts for the rest of my life. Addicts in these rooms cleaning up, I'm going to be with addicts as usual, but we're going to be together. We're going to be together. So I got to get a program. And you got to get a program. I got to get a program, and you got to get a program. It was a hell of a hit getting here. I didn't think I was going to make my way here. I didn't think I was going to make my way here in desperation. I had lost control of my life. When addiction stepped into my life, I'm talking about addiction. I didn't say the use when I started using drugs. I said addiction. I'm talking about disease that don't have no S. It's so big it don't have an S. We didn't say we admitted we're powerless over our addiction. There's no S there. You better get with that. Why doesn't it say S? We admitted we were powerless over our addiction. The addiction stepped into my life, man. it took away my ability to choose responsibly. I ain't talking about the use of drugs. I'm talking about right now. What impulse am I dealing with right now? What urge is tagging me right now? What am I obsessive and compulsive about right now? I can destroy my life and never use another drug. And never use another drug. You think that's it? That's it? That's just the most obvious symptom. The addict dying in these rooms hadn't done no dope in years. Hadn't done no dope in years. I can't choose responsibly. Step one is a problem statement. Obsession, compulsion, denial, substitution, unmanageability. That's who I am. That's my truth. And it's been my truth for a long time. For a long time, that's been my truth. And I ran from Honolulu to Dade County, South Florida, all over the country, running from that truth. And it just followed me. It just followed me. That's who I am. When I was 18 years old, come out of addiction. I had a son. See, I can tell you all the stuff I did in the alley. But one of the things about Benji is, at 18 years old, I had a son. And his mother handed him to me. And I wouldn't hold him. I was mad with her because she got pregnant. Right? I wouldn't hold my own son. Now, that's something there. There's something fundamentally wrong with that. That's who I am. That ain't got nothing to do with no dope. I lived with a woman for 3 months. For 3 months, this woman fed me. I slept with this woman. She sexed me. And I couldn't remember her name. It was only last year. It's taken me nearly 13 years for her name. Her name is Vanessa. I know her name today. But I've been waiting for a long time for her name to come back to me. How could you live with a human being for 3 months? For 3 months and not even remember her name? So, sister, I know that he looks good. But can he be a part of your life? Probably even feels good. But can he be a part of your life? Some say, probably even tastes good. But can you be a part of my life? So you better look more than if it feels good, looks good, and tastes good. You better ask him, can he be a part of your life? I met a woman in Narcotics Anonymous, boy meet girl on NA campus. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen tonight. And I'm not here to tell you to stay out. I'm here to tell you, you better get a program so you can survive anything that shows up in your life. Because she's coming. She's on her way. She's on her way. And you better get a program. You hear me? You hear me, young mother? She's on her way. You better get a program. When he getting heat, he gonna forget about God, sponsors, and everything. But I met her. I had 11 days clean. She had 7 years. And the only thing was important that I was attracted to her. Who I was wasn't important.
I didn't need to get honest with her. Only thing I need to tell her is, let's do this. And I have never harmed like that before. And I've never harmed like that since. Horrible story. Tragic. Tragic. But it shaped my life. When you harm like I harm, you got to live in the mirror. You got to live in the mirror. So all I ask you to do is just be careful. Be careful. We ain't as well as we look. We ain't as well as we look. See, I'm talking about before the dope. Before the dope. 5 years old, I was having sex. It ain't supposed to be that way, I don't think. Against my will. And I got up from that experience and I went home and I sat at the dinner table. 15 minutes later. And my family didn't know anything had happened. I ain't got nothing to do with dope. See, that's who I am. That's who I am. When the dope showed up, man, I was happy. For a minute. For a minute, I was happy. I was on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Mediterranean. See, I'm talking about forms that addiction takes. So the boat pulled in. We went out on liberty. And me and my wee-wee went to acting out. Me and my wee-wee. So when I got back to the ship, they said, you got to go, dude. You got to get up out of here. Something ain't right with you. Strange mannerism. They shipped my ass out of there. I wasn't doing no dope. I'm running the same race you're running as a newcomer. The same thing that threatens you threatened me. I'm not safe. I'm not safe. I still have the ability to harm myself. And I still have the ability to harm you. Shit. That's why I go to meetings. I got me a program because I know I mess up some. I drive 140 miles to meetings in Narcotics Anonymous. Programs say I live in Flint. But I said my home group was the Friday Night Live group in Metropolitan Detroit. Because that's where I recover. And it's 70 miles one way, and I make 3 meetings a week. 140 miles one way. Because I know who I am. Some of y'all doing all this walking, you walking because you don't know who you are. If you knew what you were dealing with, you'd sit your ass down. If you knew what you were dealing with.
Trying to find some deep shit and can't find it.
put something on these addicts tonight. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness. And we are grateful for the direction that has enabled us to build upon a program of recovery. And there's a lot of addicts. Some of us still think we have an inferior fellowship. And we've been guided by a greater consciousness. Addiction. See, alcohol is too limited for us. See, our problem is not with a specific substance. Not with a specific substance. So my mind is turned in the wrong direction. I thought I liked getting high. And what I listen to say, we got high because we didn't have the power not to get high. So we were powerless. We got high because we didn't have the power not to. And once I took the first one, it was on. And I run from here to Raleigh to get a bump. And none of y'all, and whoever had it, wasn't no problem. See, I ain't have no problem then. If you told me you was a professor at Stanford, I tell you I was a literary student at Harvard. Let's get one. You know, a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Say we were two people. You go to Honolulu and they call me Puna. You go to Daytona Beach and they call me Scholar. You go to Miami and they call me Oyster. Now what kind of nigga would name himself Oyster? So I got some problems. I'm talking about me. I actually told them people my name was Oyster. Now, why would I do that? And I thought that was so cute. So I remember one night being at the club. He said, what's your name? I said, my name is Oyster. What happens to you when you eat an oyster? Oh, I thought it was on. I thought I was player. And I came to knock out his numbers and find out I wasn't a player. I was a poodle. And a little bit later, I'm going to get honest and let you know I was part poodle and part punk. To get honest. But I thought I was player. Why? I say, you didn't play nobody. Them women didn't love you. I thought y'all loved me. I thought I was it. That's why I say, them women didn't love you. They needed you. They were desperate. They had to be desperate to fuck with you. And brothers, all y'all players up in here? Because she had to be desperate. I wouldn't have and I wouldn't have been attracted to her if she wasn't desperate. But I thought she loved me. Yeah, you got three or four desperate women that need a program of Knock Ice Anonymous. You don't have to be that way. King, I wouldn't bring in nothing to the table. Laying up in your bed, flipping your remote control, driving your car, walking around my old dry, rusty coins on my foot, walking on your floor, opening your damn refrigerator. Think I'm running stuff. Because you don't want to be alone. With my little wee-wee. But I tell you that, you the Duke professor, I'm the Harvard literary student. You was a cowboy, you had your cowboy hat on, your cowboy boots. I put me a cowboy hat on, cowboy boots. Said, let's get one. That's what kind of addict I was. I worked with whatever was working. I looked at my little brothers around here switching this weekend. I was thinking, I would have got with you too. I'd have saw you. Stand up. Stand on up. You've been switching all weekend. Stand up. Let me tell you what I would have told you. Took off my little drawers and put on my little tight jeans. I would have told you, won't you give me one, man? Go give me one. Set you up, that little thing would have swiveled up after I took that bomb. KKK. I'd have wrapped the sheet around my black ass and say, let's go get one. But then I want to come to knock out your numbers and I can't get with you now. Now I got a problem with you. Now I got a problem with you. See, I ain't have no problem with you then. I ain't have no problem. Where Tom Cruise at? There he is over there by 18 days. Brother, white man right there. Stand up for a minute, brother. How many days you got clean? How many days? 15 days, please. See, he thought he was Tom Cruise. 19 days, he thought he was Tom Cruise, Matt Damon. Hard being a white boy in America, ain't it? We're glad you're here. So we gotta have some empathy. It's something else for us. Nicholas Cage, you fuck around and think you Nicholas Cage if you want, you're gonna end up right in Knock Out Your Numbers. See? When we say welcome, what we say is we understand. We understand. Full flight from reality. I was a nut in a rut. I couldn't be trusted. Just off the chain. And I came to Knock Out Your Numbers and I found you. And you're putting me back together. You're putting me back together. See, I can laugh now. But wasn't that funny when I dropped one? Have you ever dropped one? Have you ever dropped one? One time I dropped one, man. I dropped it, man. Look here. And I couldn't find it. That's a hurting thing, ain't it? The drop one. Anybody relate? I dropped it, right? I couldn't find it, so I went to the store. I got me a 150-watt light bulb. No, for real. I put that there 150-watt light bulb on it. I couldn't find it, man. Look, I took the whole goddamn copper outside in the middle of the day. I had to find it, y'all. Have you ever dropped one? That's a hell of a hit, man. That's a hell of a hit. Thank you. Can y'all identify? So I can get on in the process of recovery now? Okay, thank you. We admitted we're powerless over our addiction, our lives have become unmanageable. Powerless. You could not have the power not to. Came to Narcotics Anonymous and found the power. Where's the power? In the steps. In the literature. In the fellowship. In sponsorship. In our meetings. Do that.
while you're on your way to freedom. You got to take something with you. That's what you got to take with you. You got to get a sponsor. Somebody that believes in you. Not somebody you believe in. Somebody that believes in you. You see, I can believe, you can believe in me, and I don't care nothing about you. So make sure you get a sponsor that believes in you. That wants this program. That's excited about this program. And that's who you run with. You got to take the three indispensables with you. You got to be open-minded. So when I say something, you just, if you don't understand it, just be open to it. Be open-minded. Stay open. God, I don't know, but I'm open. Be willing to do whatever it takes. Just like you was willing to do what it took then, you got to be willing. And don't fire your sponsor when he challenged your willingness. See, I got fired 3 weeks ago. Because I told the dude, look, he quit his job. He said, my car ain't working. I don't have a way to work. I quit the job. So I say, hold up, man. How far is your job from where you live? He told me 7 miles. I said, well, why don't you walk to work? He wasn't ready for that. He didn't have that kind of willingness. Said he had conditions on his recovery. I'll work if you give me a car. I'll do it under these conditions. So he got his feelings hurt because I suggested that he walked to work. He was offended by that. He was offended. And I didn't mean to hurt his feelings. I was just telling him, what do you think would happen to you if you were to demonstrate that kind of willingness? What do you think God would do for you? But he was offended. But see, I don't know how to do it anyway. I told you I drive 140 miles to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not sharing that with you to try and give you the impression I'm some hell of a hit. I'm just telling you what the program of Narcotics Anonymous, how it will inspire you if you got one. My life is on the line. I do that because I'm inspired by your life. It's the most important room that I live in. Ain't no room like this room to me. Ain't no room like the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous to me. And I was in the room with Colin Powell last year. I was in the room with the president of our country last year. I sat in the room with Miss America. I call the mayor of Flint. I call him at home whenever I feel like it. Senators, congressmen. That's why I didn't recover in Flint. Because I'm a businessman in Flint. I'm a community leader in Flint. And I'm one of these addicts that benefit enormously from the principle of anonymity. And I can't recover anonymously in the city that I live. So I got to drive to Detroit. And you hear me talking about my wee-wee and this and that. I ain't got no business trying. I need a little anonymity. Because I can't take that shit to my job. So I've been in some rooms. I get the opportunity that I was on Capitol Hill last week. So I go to some rooms, but ain't no rooms like these rooms. See, that's not who I am. I'm not a business leader. I'm an addict. That's why I go to meetings. That's why I'm still working the program of Narcotics Anonymous. If I was who they thought I was, I might just stay at home and I got a pretty sexy ass wife. I stay home and be who they think I am. But I like abandoned buildings. Please the people. You just get me in there some crumbs and some sleep, dry lines and please the people. I just light up like a damn Christmas tree. Well, man, I'm telling you, I'm serious.
God is working with me. And you all are working with me. But I still want some things for me that ain't good for me. I still want some stuff that ain't good for me. The most dangerous part of me is my will. I have to get on to the third step. I had to find his will. I had to find his will. Because this is some stuff that I want, man, to be here. And it's the stuff that you want that'll kill you. Just think about it. You know, we got some stuff that feels good to us, but it ain't good for us. Don't say, I can't do my will. I eat every damn thing in Winn-Dixie. On my will. Sometimes I want to do that. Sometimes I want to do that. So I got to make a decision to live God's will. I got to make the decision. And then I got to work the rest of the time trying to live that decision. So I came to believe. The process of coming to believe wasn't difficult for me. When you got your ass towed out like me, when I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was sweetly reasonable. You could reason with me. Some of y'all, we still can't reason with. That's okay. That's okay. It's coming. Sometime before you ride that horse, you gotta break them, right? And we're gonna break. Addiction is gonna bring us to our knees. It's designed to do that. So I ain't even gonna ask you to keep coming back. You coming back. You coming back. You don't have nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else for us to go. There ain't nowhere else for us to go. And you're gonna find God. All you gotta do is keep using or keep coming. But you're gonna find God. I ain't worried about that. It's not difficult to find God. It's not difficult to find God. Impossible to escape Him. It's impossible to escape God. Don't worry about it. Just keep using. Just keep using. Restored understanding. See, I thought all that 6 and 7 step stuff was what was crazy about me. Not 6 and 7 stuff. The stuff that was crazy about me, what I need to be restored to, is this idea that alcohol is a beverage. See, that's what I need fixed. The part of me that associates using with pleasure. The part of me that gets a hard on when I see a joint. And then you're going to call me. Don't call me with a hard on. Come out. You at the hotel room and you think about using. I tell you, get off and come on to the meeting. See, I got to deal with that part of me that associates using with pleasure. Out of all the shit that happened to me and all the things that I know is going to happen to me and all the things that I've seen happen to you, and I still want to get hurt. I got a mental illness. Something wrong with my mind. And that's the part of me that needs to be restored to sanity. So if that's where you at right now, you need to ask God to give you enough sense not to pick up. Because there's addicts right in this room right now that don't have enough sense not to pick up. Don't have enough sense not to pick up. You don't have to be always serene and highly evolved in here and have this expanded sense of awareness and all of that. But you got to be sick as hell to pick up. You sick. And that's what I need to be restored to sanity. And then I move on to my third step, where I make a decision to live a life of spiritual surrender. I'm talking about a third step surrender. The second surrender. A deeper surrender. See, in the first step, all I do is surrender to the problem, which is addiction, compulsion, obsession, unmanageability. That step one is nothing but a problem statement. So I surrender to the problem. And the third step, I surrender to the solution, which is a life of spiritual surrender. Not self-improvement. Not self-improvement. Now, what is the difference between spiritual surrender and self-improvement? We need to clarify that, because many of our members are living a program of self-improvement. That's when I go to Duke and get a PhD. And there's nothing wrong with that. We must do that. That's when I go to Bally's and give me a membership and I start working out. And I give me a few, waiters or whatever your stuff is. I'm coming up. Y'all say that style of coming up. So all I've done is come to Narcotics Anonymous and take. My house, my car, my relationship, all I think about is me. The N.A. opera, me. So I'm experiencing a lot of outer fulfillment. I don't have no prejudice. I don't have a problem with the material world. Because I know that the material world and the spiritual world can coexist. So don't get it twisted here. I'm not telling you not to have a material experience. Or that there's something wrong with outer fulfillment. What I'm asking you to do, I'm trying to provoke you to make sure you understand when our literature say that we put our spiritual development first and all other areas of our life will progress naturally. I'm telling you to trust that. I'm talking about the difference between ambition and inspiration. I'm asking you to live a life of inspiration. Not ambition. It's already here. I ain't got to go and create romance. I got a creator. We have a creator. I don't have to create anything. All I got to do is position myself under the grace. It's coming. Decision to live my life according to God's will, to live a life of spiritual surrender. Why? Because addiction is a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem, and only a spiritual solution is going to work. Only a spiritual solution is going to work. See, I know that. Because I tried all kinds of solutions. Intellectual solutions. In the end, for me, I had the Bible in one room. I had all kinds of scholarship. I was studying under multi-genius. Some of the best minds on this planet. And I had all of my academic literature. I was a graduate student at the University of Hawaii, working on a master's in criminology. And I was the brightest student in my class. But I couldn't stop using. I understood every goddamn thing when I came. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I knew everything. Or I thought I knew everything. And I knew quite a bit. I had a lot of intellectual knowledge. But this is not an intellectual problem. So it doesn't matter how wise you are. It doesn't matter how wise you are or how many PhDs you got or where you work. So I couldn't stop using. So I had to surrender to the solution, which is spiritual surrender. And then I had to go in at the fourth step. And I had to take a pencil or a paper or a pen. And I had to simply write. And let go of how it spelled, what I couldn't spell, what I spelled. Just simply wrote. And then I took it to my sponsor. And he looked at me. And he said, I love you more. He said, I love you even more, Benji, because you trusted me.
See, I trusted him. For the first time, I trusted another human being. I had done every damn thing. That was the only thing I hadn't done. I never trusted another person. And I understood defects. And I understood that they were going to rob me of my freedom. And I started asking God to make me a harmless person, so that I wouldn't harm you and I wouldn't harm me. And I worked through that, and I worked right there, and I still lived there. Now, when I went to the second step, I brought one with me. When I went to three, I brought one, two, and three with me. I don't leave the steps. I bring them with me. Because I got to learn how to refer to the steps. The only step I'm not working today is 4, 5, and 8. Any given situation, I have to go, when I'm in doubt, I go to my second step and I say, you know, I'm not believing right now. I need to deepen my commitment to my second step. When I'm compulsive, I got to go to my third step and recommit myself to this decision. I have to live in 10. When the opportunity presents itself, I got to go to 9. When the pain comes into my life, it moves me invariably to a deeper devotion. So I got to go to 11. And I just ask for God's will for my life. And that I do my God's will for my life. So I'm living with inspiration. I don't go with an ambitious list. I don't go with ambition. I don't have to ask God for anything. It's on the way. The text in the mail. God's got more. I know He has more. So I don't have to sit around begging. I don't have to sit around begging God. So I got a relationship with the steps. On my way to freedom, bound to freedom, I need a relationship with the steps. I need a relationship with the literature. I need a relationship with you. I need a relationship with sponsorship. And then the newcomer shows up. And I need the newcomer to show up for me. See, the newcomer is the most important person at our meeting. Why is he the most important person? See, we sing, oh, newcomer, bless you, baby, you're the most important person, you're such a baby. I'm a big boy, you're a baby. That ain't the spirit of this principle. The newcomer comes to save me. He comes to give me an opportunity to get out of my self-centered ass. See, as I carry the program with you, as I share the program of Narcotics Anonymous with you, it becomes more real for me. Seems like I'm giving it to you, but I'm giving it to me. See, at the end of the day, I believe in the program more deeply. I don't know what you do with it. But at the end of the day, I stay clean. I stay clean. And then you do your fifth step with me. And guess what happens when you do your fifth step with me? I get my self-acceptance. I became able to accept myself more deeply when you share your life with me, when you share your stuff with me. And I'm sitting there at your one-year anniversary. See? I'm sitting there at your one-year anniversary with my chair poked out. And you get up, pick up your chip, and you say, I want to thank my sponsor for the role that he's playing in my life. And all of a sudden, I feel like a human being now. I'm feeling more human. Because you've given me purpose. You've given me an opportunity to participate in your life. That's what I need. Twelfth step. Helping others is the highest aspiration of the human heart. Something we've been entrusted with as a result of a higher power working in our lives. Helping others is our deepest desire. Did you hear that? Now, I got to get a program to get there. That's what it says. Page 121. Helping others is our highest aspiration.
that something happens to me when I serve you. See, I'm not doing you a favor by loving you. The best thing I can do for me is to love you. The best thing that I can do for me is to love you. I'm not doing you a favor. I'm so wonderful and I'm so spiritual. I do it because the check is in the mail. I figured out by loving you, God does something for me. Just like I know by rejecting you, I get constipated. But I think it's cute to reject you. Shared with Wyatt that I was going to put him on the spot tonight. You all, particularly those of you that live here in the Charlotte area. Wyatt, he's a product of your love. Look what you have made. Your love made him. He's a product of your love. And you need to look at this. And I told him this afternoon, I want you to start asking them, telling them to love somebody else the way they love you. Now what would happen if you start loving somebody else the way you love him? You're going to create another him in these rooms. You did that. And you ought to feel good about that. And there's a lesson in that. That's what happens when you love the addict. I'm going to get better when you start loving me. But I'm going to stay as sick as you say I am until you start loving me. I'm going to stay sick. And until I start loving you, you can stay sick too. You can read all day long. And then on the other side of that is I don't need your love. It ain't your responsibility to love me. On one hand, I need your love. Because that's what's healing me. That's why I identify with him. Because I know what it means to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous and be loved. I've been getting love since the day I walked in this fellowship. And your love has made me who I am. But at the same time, I let you love me because I understand that it's your heart that's open. It's your heart that's expanding. So I watched how he allowed you all to love him. And I said, you know what? That's beautiful. Let them love you. The best thing they can do for themselves is to love you. It ain't about him. It ain't about me. But I also understand that, you know what? It ain't your responsibility to love me. Your love is a gift. So if you give it to me, I accept it. I receive it. But if you don't give it to me, you know what? I'm okay. I can't get upset because you don't love me. I just started doing it. I ain't been doing it but 5 minutes. I just started loving you. Treated myself like a trash can all my life. Now I got a resentment because you don't love me. Something is fundamentally wrong with that. We gotta get with our sponsors and the men and women in our network. So they can help us work past that. Just like I sit around in meetings and analyze your darkness and describe your darkness and point at you. Look, God, guilty, guilty. God don't need a police force. God don't need a police force. What I need to do is to illumine your life. If you in darkness, what I need to do is step into your range with my light. Since I'm so goddamn illumined, why don't I light up your life? You might see something if I put my light on you. But see, what it is I ain't got no light. That's why you in dark. But then I want to come and share about where you at, your disease, how your disease got you trapped. How your disease got you trapped. And oh, Sally got Sally in the grip. And then I missed the hit because you know what? I got the same disease Sally got. And if the disease got Sally in the grip and I'm so busy looking at Sally, I'm going to miss the hit and realize, you know what? If Sally disease can do that to her, I better make another meeting. Because if her disease can take her there and I got the same disease she got, then it can take me there. You see? We're living our lives with enormous grace. I'm not going to hold you up. I'm going to get ready to close here. We're living our lives with enormous grace. Some amazing grace. You got to take care of one another. You got to go back to your home group as soon as possible, or a group, and find out who set up the chairs and tell them thank you. Find out who made the coffee and tell them thank you. Find out who made the phone list and tell them thank you. When the last time you told a trusted servant thank you? We've been served here this weekend. We didn't do anything. We just showed up. And they had the place prepared for us. We stroll in these meetings, man. We forgot. Somebody cleaned the bathroom for me to use, right? Go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and find out who cleaned the bathroom and tell them thank you. We show up 30 minutes late, smelling good, looking good, stroll in there with this sense of entitlement. We so deep. And then we leave before the meeting is over, so we don't know who picked up the white bill. Because we gone. Or we drop our wisdom and then we gone. Because we haven't learned to listen to each other. That's too much to ask. So we got to take care of our trusted servants. Ain't but 10% of them serving our fellowship. So at least we can thank them for serving us. I want you to go to a meeting as soon as possible. Find an addict that's in the room that feels as though they're all alone and convince them that they're not. Convince them that they're not. It's our responsibility. God didn't clean us up for us to get up here and celebrate ourselves and stand on top of our new car and say, look at me. There's a responsibility that comes with this clean time. The responsibility that comes with this clean time. To whom much is given, much is required. See, wine has a tremendous responsibility. Do you realize how much responsibility comes with me? That you all have given me a microphone, and you've given me this podium, and you've given me this stage. I have a responsibility to live my life in a congruent way. It's a whole lot of responsibility. That's why I have to go to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I have to carry this message. That's why I have to respect you. That's why I have to celebrate your life. That's why I have to be interested in you. That's why I have to make your needs just as important as mine. See, I have a responsibility. But I think it's just about coming in here and building my kingdom. I think it's just coming in here and take. That's true for our first few years. Just take all you need. But at some point, you got to start giving. You got to remember what it feels like to have 30 days clean on a Friday night. You got to step to somebody and tell them, look, man, what's up? What's going on with you? These people are dying. Newcomers are dying. And we're coming up short. I'm talking about people with time. We're coming up short. We don't got our house. We don't got our woman. We don't got our career. And we think that's it. We think, nah, y'all, the rest of y'all supposed to step here and admire me. And ooh, look at Benji. He got it going on. See, I'm going to get constipated. I'm going to get constipated because all I have done is took and made myself wealthy and Narcotics Anonymous. Because I just took. I'm still laying on my back, taking, calling myself a man. So I'm not in my masculine spirit. See, I'm not a wimp today. I was a sucker for anything when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. You heard me share that. I was a sucker for anything. And y'all put me back together. We have much work to do together. We have much work to do. Addiction is the number one disease in our society. The number one disease in our society. They're on the way. They're on the way. And they need somebody to have a program when they get here. Somebody that's not intolerant. Somebody that's able to understand unity. I need to be able to see myself in you. But I got to have a program to see myself in you. To recognize that you are my mirror. And you are my compass. See, as I go on the journey to freedom, as I'm bound to freedom, I need to take my mirror and my compass. The newcomer is my mirror. The old timer is my compass. Now I'm ready to go. You are a mirror for me to see myself. But if I don't see me in you, that's not a unity perspective. That's not a unity perspective. And they're coming to our fellowship by the thousands. We're projected to have 30,000 addicts at our world convention next year in Atlanta. 30,000 addicts. We don't have anywhere else to go.
Thank you, convention committee. Thank you all. You know, to think that I have, you all asked me to come. You didn't have to ask me. I was just in North Carolina just a year ago, 9 months ago, just 20 miles away. I'm humbled by that. I'm humbled by that. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. From the bottom of my heart. See, I promise you that I'm going to continue to try to be a better man. I owe you that. I owe you that. I have many problems and many challenges. And I still need a sixth step. I still need a seventh step. I always need a sixth step. I always need a seventh step. But I'm in the process. I said I'm in the process. I didn't say it is a process. That's just a statement of the fact. That don't mean I'm in it just because I say it's the process. The question is, am I in it? Am I in it? John F. Kennedy died of what they call spatial disorientation. As his plane, he thought he was going up, but he was disoriented. And he was going down. Spatial disorientation. And if we're not careful, we can think we're going forward. We can think we're in the process and be disoriented. That's why we need a compass. That's why I need a compass. See? Peacock walked in a circle all day. Walked in a circle. All day. And at the end of the day, the peacock said, I've walked further than all of you. But in reality, he had walked in a circle. 4 years clean. 5 years clean. 6 years clean. 7 years clean. Walking in a circle. Be careful. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Walking in a circle. Disoriented. See, our lives is better than it's ever been. My life is better than it's ever been. And I know that your life is better than it's ever been. But you know what? I sponsor men, and their lives is better than it's ever been. And you know what they tell me? Leave me alone, Benji. Why are you fucking with me, man? My life is better than it's ever been. But we got a progressive disease. It's always moving forward, even in abstinence. So I can't stand still. I can't win today's ball game on yesterday's score. So it doesn't matter what kind of program I had yesterday. I got to keep renewing and regenerating. I got to keep moving forward. Just not doing dope for us is that's such an awesome thing, and we're not careful. We'll get one step past using it and say, damn, this is awesome. See? One step past not using. And we'll get satisfied with that. We can't get satisfied with that. We got to get as far away from our disease, man. We got to keep moving forward. And we got to go get the GED. And we got to go change those jobs. And we got to keep growing. We got to get a program. Because problems are coming. Challenges are coming. Our mothers are going to die. Our fathers are going to die. Somebody going to tell a lie on us. The lady at Burger King going to be too slow. And I got to have a program. What do I do when you have betrayed me? I got to get a program. So we got to keep moving forward. In the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous service,
I salute you and God bless you. Thank you.